Okay, we did the Pesukim. Let's read it again. Pasuk and Perek Gimel. Pasuk Gimel. Eloka mitemon yavoi. Hashem, he has come from Teman. Mitemon yavo. Hashem has come from Teman. Well, that was the discussion yesterday. Who do we put a comma after the word Eloka? Eloka. Right now, I learned like the symbol, the midrashic approach, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has arrived from Teman. In other words, Hashem has proposed, has requested from Esav, the nation of Edom, if they are willing to accept the Torah. And the answer was no. Hashem mi Teman yavo. Hashem has arrived from Teman. V'kadosh mehar paron. And Sela, which we learned to mean, we have to rearrange the words in the Pasuk. The Kadosh Sela, Hashem, whose holiness is eternal, has arrived from Har Paran. We have to repeat the word Yavo a second time. This is very sophisticated what we're doing in this Pasuk. We're doing two things. In other words, we're rearranging the words. We're putting the word Sela next to the word Kadosh, the Kadosh. Hashem, who is holy, Sela, forever. His holiness is eternal. Yov Mehar Paran, from the mountain of Paran, Yovo, he has arrived. In other words, Hashem has presented, made an offer to the people who live in the mountain of Paran, namely Edom, if they are willing to accept the Torah. And the answer, of course, was in the negative. The answer was no. Thus, what did Hashem do? He gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael, who was willing to accept. Kisa Shamayim Hoidoi, he descended upon this earth, and he covered the heavens with his splendor. Usihila Soy Mala'ah Haaretz, his praise filled the earth. We discussed different Perushim yesterday, Pasuk Dalid, and then the result was Vinoga, the brilliance, Hashem's brilliance, Ko'or Tiyah. This is the future tense, will be like light, karnayim miyadoi loy, rays of light from Hashem's hand, lo, to the nation of Klal Yisrael, v'sham, and there, at that moment, at that location, when Hashem presented the Torah to Klal Yisrael, there, I think there means at Har Sinai, chevyoin uzo, was revealed the hiddenness of Hashem's might. Hashem oz liamo yitein Hashem yivarech esov hashalom. Pasuk hey lifanav yelech dover. Then after Hashem had gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael, Hashem punished the nations of the world for insulting Hashem by not accepting the Torah. It goes forth a dover. Dover will loosely translate here as a plague, a magefa. V'yetze reshef. Reshef means the demons. Reshef simply here means a term for destruction, liraglov, at the bottom of his feet. Now we're still really discussing the mitzudois. We didn't finish the mitzudois David. Let's take a look over here at Pasuk. We're in the middle of the mitzudois David, Pasuk Dalet. Okay, Pasuk Dalet. Let's take a look at Pasuk Dalid in the Mitzudois David. The Pasuk says, V'noiga akartiyah, ha'noiga shel amur o'esh, shohoy l'chalfnei Yisrael hoysa mi'ira ki'or hayoim. The Mitzudois David learns that the brilliance, the glow of Hashem's light, this refers to the amud ho'esh that went before Klal Yisrael in the desert. Was bright like the light of day. Karnayim miyad Hashem bo li Yisrael keren memshala v'hiskabrus. Okay, so Bechol, you mentioned yesterday the word karnayim means rays of light. Certainly, there are some of the commentators here that say that indeed is the pshat. But the mitzvah of it here learns the word karnayim means strength, like the fame the psukim in
It's frequently the right. Word Karen is used as a power symbol.
Oh, so here right here means okay, right. It's used as a symbol of a strength, Okay, Barzillai, it was a story with the two kings. I forgot the story in Nevi'im, and they wanted to know, should they go to war? And one of the false prophets, he made Karnayim Shel Barzel, iron horns, as a symbol, as a sign from Shemayim that they will succeed in battle. If they go to war, they will succeed. So here it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted the Jewish people might in the desert, further than the Mitzvot of Hashem, B'machane Yisrael, Holach Hevyonu Zo, Heim HaLuchos. He learns here, it means the Luchos, Shoyu Me'oz Chavuyim Ugnuzim B'moroim, HaNusunim B'oron HaNikra Ois, K'mo Shenemar V'yato V'aronu Zecha. The Mitzvot of it says, the Hevyonu Zo refers to the Luchos HaBris. The Luchos were something that was in Shemayim. They were chavuyim uginuzim b'maroim. They were hidden away in heaven. Hashem gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael, and they led the oroin v'yehi bin soya ha'oroin v'yoyimer Moshe kumo Hashem v'yafutsu oyevecha v'yenusu misanech miponecha. The oroin led Klal Yisrael in the desert. Okay, so to summarize, a very, very elaborate pasuk according to the parish in Mitzvot David. The Mitzvot Stavit learns Pasuk Dalet is reference to the journey of the Jewish people in the desert. The Noiga Ka'or Tiyah alludes to the Amud Ho'esh, the pillar of fire that served as a guide for Klal Yisrael in the desert. When it says Karnayim Miyadoloi, this means that Hashem granted Klal Yisrael extraordinary strength, power, military power to fight against Amalek, against Midian, all the nations that disturbed them in the desert. They fought, they waged battles against their enemies in the desert. The Klal Yisrael was granted strength, which is symbolized in the term of Karnayim. The Sham, there in the desert, their guide, what guided them going forward was the Oroin, which had within it the Luchas. So Sham, according to the Mitzvot, refers to the desert. In the desert, Chevyoin Uzoi was present, the hidden might of Hashem, namely the Luchos HaBris, which were Gonuz and Chavui in Shemayim, in the Moroim, until Hashem gave it over into this world. Then, Pasuk Hei says, Lifanov Yelech Dover. What does that mean? The Mitzvot David says, Lifnei Aron Holach HaDever V'L'Harigas HaAmin. Before the Aron went, the Dever is the plague, pestilence, laharoi gesu amim, v'im bi'asa yotza rishvei esh l'shoif oisam. Now he learns reshef as fire. I, before, loosely translated reshef as a demon. Okay, that's also true, but the Mitzudos here and in the Mitzudos Sion more precisely translates it as gacheles esh kumoi reshofeho rishvei esh. Her coals are coals of fire.
Sparks
of fire. Okay, so there were sparks of fire, Liraglav, and what was the purpose of this fire? To destroy our enemies, the enemies that attacked us in the desert, namely Amalek and the other nations. They conquered the nation. Okay, so these are the three pesukim according to the parish of the Mitzudais. And just to go back a few moments to the Pasuk Gimel to summarize the understanding of the Mitzudos learns that Eloka Mitemon Yavoi, he learns that this refers to the end of the 40 years in the desert. At the end of the 40 years in the desert, as the Jewish people were about to enter into Eretz Yisrael, they came in contact with the nation of Edom, and they requested if they can have a right of passage through their land, and it would be to their benefit. They would purchase, they would do business, purchase food and other supplies from the people of Edom. And Edom said, do not, loy savor bi, I do not allow. And at that moment in time is what that's what here we are referring to according to the Mitzudos. Eloka, if we just go back to the Mitzudos, on Pasuk Gimel, just to put everything together according to his understanding, we're referring over here at the end of the 40 years when Klal Yisrael passed through this land adjacent to Edom, and the end of the Pasuk was Kisei Shamayim Hoidoi, when they conquered the land of Oig and Sichon, which were part of Edom, Kisa Shemaim Hoidai, the world recognized the greatness of the Jewish people. And when it says Usihila Sai Malah Aretz, he learns Tehila means the shine. Doesn't mean the praise. It means the might. It was Nisparsim, the glory, the power of Hashem. The power of Hashem was recognized by the entire world 40 years after Yitzias Mitzrayim. So Pasuk Gimel is describing the end of the 40 years as they passed through the land of Edom and waged war with Oig and Sihon and miraculously survived and prevailed. The world recognized the greatness of Hashem. Then Pasuk Dalet reflects upon the Amud Ha'esh and the Luchos HaBris that guided the Jewish people in the desert. And Pasuk Hey reflects upon Hashem's punishment to the Umay Sa'olam for causing the Jewish people in the desert pain and suffering. Okay, this is the parish of the Mitzvah Stav. Yeah.
I want to stand on one word. It says Chavion Uzo.
Okay.
Uzo ze Oz. Hashem Oz le Moiten. Oz the Torah. As a Torah hi chavuya.
Yeah.
That's what we said.
Okay.
I'm sure the portion will get to that too.
Okay. Correct. We did indeed mention that. Okay. Now let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Gimel. Says Eloka mitimon yavo achshav hu maskil lefanav pe'aloi harishayin. We're now going back to describe Hashem's original behavior, Hashem's policies. We mentioned before in the beginning of Chavakuk that Chavakuk has complained to Hashem that was mispalil to Hashem that I'm asking you to maintain your original policy. And Rashi was learned these psukim in such a way where Chavakuk was expressing his frustration. Why now do I see in the time of the Golus of Nebuchadnezzar and the Golus of Edom, and according to different interpretations, why has Hashem hidden himself? Why has Hashem shifted his policy, his plan? In the previous generations, when a nation would cause harm to Klal Yisrael, Hashem would immediately respond and punish them and save his people. But in the prophecy that I'm seeing, the vision that I'm seeing of the future, Hashem is not punishing our enemies. In fact, Hashem is giving them strength, allowing them to prevail and to cause us tsar. Why? What has changed? I beg of you, Hashem, I'm mispalel to that you should go back to your old policies and protect your chosen people. And now Rashi continues with this theme where Chavakuk reflects upon the past of how Hashem indeed did protect his people. And he reflects, Achshav, Rashi says, Hu mazkir lefanav pe'aloi harishayim. He is reflecting upon Hashem's original policies, Hashem's original conduct. Shumavakesh ponov lo'oirehu. Here, Chavakuk is praying. He's being mispalel for Hashem in order to arouse Hashem to show more rachamim. Poyal chibasan shel Yisrael. Hashem is showing his labor of love for his people. Upur anus doiros harishonim. And the punishment that he inflicted upon our enemies in the earlier generations. And here he explains. For example, Kishabasa Lita Nesatara Chazarta, when Hashem you wanted to give her to Klal Yisrael, what happened? Chazarta al Esav Yishmael. V'loi kibluha. And they did not accept it. So Rashi is telling us the word that we're going to see that Paron does not mean Esav, like the Mitzudas David, but Paron refers to Yishmael. Taiman, who is Taiman? That is Esav. Paran, Rashi Yishmael. Kido Omar, like it says Vayesha Bamidbar Paran, that Yishmael, after he was driven out, he went and he dwelt in the land of the Midbar of Paran. That is Yishmael. So Rashi has a disagreement with the approach of the Metzudas David, whereas the Metzudas David understands that both Paran and Teiman are both references to Edom, Esav. Rashi clearly says it's not so. Teiman refers to Esav, but Paran refers to Yishmael. What happened? Kisa Shamayim B'Sinai Li Yisrael. Hashem protected, Hashem covered heaven in splendor for the Jewish people. The next Rashi, Pasuk Dalet, V'noiga Oisoy Hayoyim Ka'artiyah. Ke'or HaMeyuchot Shel Shivas Me'Habreishis Hayah. Rashi here is Midrashic. He's dwelling upon the Medrash, and he says that the brilliance of the light of that day was like the 7 days of creation. V'chein Tirgim Yonason. The Karnayim, we'll come to the Yonason soon. The Karnayim L'Shoyim Ma'or. This is what Reb Michal said a few moments ago. The word Karnayim means rays of light. U'chshohu Noike V'Zoreach Derech HaNekev. When light goes through a little hole, when you have a wall and the ray of light is penetrating through a little teeny hole, it looks like a horn. When it perforates and shines, derech hanekev, nireh kimin karnayim, boltim, it looks like a horn. A horn is extending. V'chein ki koran or panav, the proof that the word karnayim alludes to radiance is Moshe Rabbeinu, where there clearly it refers to Moshe's radiance, not a reference to Moshe's strength. Miyadoi shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bo Elohim, it came upon them. V'sham chevyon uzoi, kitagumo sham nigle, it was revealed oiz, sheyachavu lemafre b'seis elyon, Hashem's might that was concealed in the past was revealed to the Jewish people. So far, Rashi learns Pasuk Dalet as a reference to Matan Torah, not like the Mitzudas David, that understands this to be referring to our journey in the desert for 40 years, where we were guided by the Amud Esh and by the Oroin. These were two things. We have the Amud Esh, the Amud Onon. There is no mention here of the Amud Onon according to the Mitzudas. That is not mentioned, but what is mentioned is the Amud Esh. And the Oroin was the primary source of movement. Vayihi bin Soya HaOroin, that is what guided us. That's not what it says in Rashi. Rashi disagrees. We're referring to Esav and Yishmael. They were offered the Torah. They rejected it. And after they rejected HaKadosh Baruch Hu, gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael. Pasuk Dalet is a description of what happened at Matan Torah. Hashem came down and he shined his radiance on the world, upon Klal Yisrael, and the or was the or of Shivas Yimei Bereishis. When we learn the sugyos of Chanukah, we always mention, everyone mentions, is that the 36 candles of Chanukah, not including the Shamashim, alludes to the 36 hours in Maaseh Bereishis, where the or, the full scope, the full spectrum of or, was revealed before Hashem said that the world will be filled with wicked people who are not deserving of this R, and therefore I have no choice but to hide, to put the R in Geniza for the Tzadikim La'asilavo. This R that was concealed, La'asilavo, was temporarily exposed, was revealed at the time of Matan Torah. Where do you see this? I've never heard such a medrash before. This medrash I never came across. A lot of midrash talk about the or hagonus, but did anyone ever hear this medrash to say that at the time of Matan Torah, Hashem opened up, Hashem shined down upon Klal Yisrael at that moment the or hagonus of Maaseh Bereishis? This is something new, and this is what Rashi understands the pshat in the pasuk of Matan Torah. We're coming to Shavuos. And Shavuos, we're going to read the Pesukim in the Haftorah. The Or HaMeyuchot Shel Shivas Mei Bereishis Hoya. That's how Rashi learns the story of Matan Torah. Okay, now we go to Pasuk Hey. Pasuk Lefonov Yelech Dover Motzasi Bemedrash Agada. I'm reading Rashi in Pasuk Hey. B'sha Shanosan HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Torah LeYisrael, Tirado LeMalach HaMavis, LaHafligoi LeDvorim Acherim. Shlo Yamoid LeKanter VeLoimar, LeMalach HaMavis should not make trouble, Umo Shasida LeChpor B'cha LeSoif Arboim Yoim Ata Noisim Lechem Esa Torah. How could you give the Torah to a nation that will sin before you 40 days? Now this Rashi, before we even go further, is a very revealing Rashi. It's telling us that the Malach HaMavis knows the future. Well, how do you know that? Where did you ever hear such a thing? If not for this Rashi, if not for the Emunah we have in Rashi, who says we would accept this to be true? We know that Nevi'im were given insight into the future. Okay, we know that that's what Nevi'im is all about. Hashem certainly knows the future. But where do we ever find in Chazal such a concept that the Malach HaMavis knows the future? It says here in Rashi that the Malach HaMavis, the Malach, he reads the word, the Malach HaMavis, that's what my gear says, would complain before Hashem, how can you give the Jewish people the Torah? I know as a fact that in 40 days from now, they will worship the eagle. They will insult you. They will deny your existence. To these people, you're giving the Torah. So the Malach HaMavis, number one, he knows about the future. Number two, the Malach HaMavis is very concerned about the honor of Hashem. Who says? Whoever said the Malach HaMavis is so concerned about Hashem's honor? If the Malach HaMavis really cared about Hashem's honor, why does he take away from this world people? Why does he take away from this world tzaddikim? Would it not be a great honor for Hashem that the tzaddikim remain alive in this world and sanctify Hashem's name? You would get the impression that the Malach HaMavis is public enemy number one. He doesn't care. We know in this world there are people who are just rotten apples. There are wicked people in this world that, as far as we know and we are concerned, there is nothing good about them. They're just wicked people. That's how it is. Hashem created in this world evil. Evil is a force. It's a spirit. Some people are very fortunate. They don't come in contact with these type of people. You go live your whole life, and you always melamed tzchus that he means well. And it's very true. 99% of people out there usually are very good people. And when we find that they are misbehaving, doing bizarre, strange things, it's because they're having a fit of insanity, a temporary fit of something which is happening to them, which is blocking their clarity in behaving in a responsible way. But every so often, you come across a person who is just, at least to us, plain, pure evil. They're just evil. There are evil people. They have a streak of wickedness. There is a wicked nature in some people. So we would assume them all, and indeed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he created the world, built into the world is a koyach of Ra. And we would assume the first one to gain this is the Malach HaMavis. And yet the Malach HaMavis over here is saying, I'm concerned for your honor, and it's not proper you should give the Torah to Klal Yisrael. Unless you want to say, the Malach HaMavis is playing devil's advocate. The Malach HaMavis couldn't care less when Hashem's on. He really couldn't care less.
No pun intended?
What do you mean, no pun intended?
Yeah. Devil's advocate?
Oh, very good. Okay, I didn't get it. Very good. The Malach HaMavis really doesn't care. Yeah.
Why are you saying that the Malach HaMavis is evil?
Because the Malach HaMavis takes away holy people. If the Malach HaMavis was not evil, why would he take away from this world holy tzaddikim?
I thought that's his mission. That's his job. He's doing his job to what God sends him to do. I'm not getting this this description of the Malach HaMavis.
Okay, but the Malach HaMavis, let's talk about Yitzias Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim, Hashem made a gzera that the Jewish people, Yodor Tedak, Yiger Yez, Zarach, Bi Eretz, Lo Elohim, Vavodim, Vi Inu, Oysam, Arba, Me'oshana. So there had to be a nation that would subjugate Klal Yisrael for 400 years. Any nation that would take up that mission is just doing their job. They're doing their job. So Egypt, that decided it wanted to be the messenger of Hashem, it did its job. Why did Hashem severely punish Egypt? They did Hashem's job. They're good people. They're good people. They're just, this is what you do if you're surging the cut.
So what?
Well, let's look at Egypt. Egypt was decimated. Why? They were doing their job. Hashem said, someone has to.
Your answer for that. What does that have to do with this? I'm not sure.
The Egyptians, what did they do to us? They took the babies of the children and they put them into bricks. They tortured Klal Yisrael. Were they punished? Did the Egyptians behave in an ugly, detestable way? Certainly.
Yes.
Were they punished? There was makas b'chayres. They were punished. They were severely punished. Why? They're doing their job.
No, they're not doing their job.
Why not? Why not?
Excuse me. Mark, you're not confusing, but certain things are, we're dealing with people, you think people have bechira, and malachim have no bechira. That's a machlokis. The Rambam says malachim have bechira. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Listen.
Well, that's the Rambam sheet, though.
For me, it's simple. There's a malach amavis. He has a job. I don't think that that's the definition of evil. Evil is what you're describing is Egypt, Hitler. These people are evil. They have their choices. They act evil. I don't know why the malach. But okay, we go on. We go further.
And also, the malach amavis is kind of protecting his turf. Because if B'nai Israel gets the Torah, theoretically, potentially, they can become immortal. So in that sense, he's looking out for himself.
Okay, the Malach HaMavis I have over here, I put on another device over here. Whatever, I'm now in two places. Okay. This is the ultimate social distancing. Everyone's in their own box. Some people have two boxes. In any event, let's go further over here. Okay.
Where are we going with this?
Wait, let's go further. Rashi over here says something very, 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 very fascinating. Rashi says, at the time of Matan Torah, the Malach HaMavis complained to Hashem. The Malach HaMavis is doing two things here. The Malach HaMavis knows the future. Number two, the Malach HaMavis is seemingly seeking out Hashem's honor. And saying to Hashem, it's not fair that the Jewish people should receive the Torah because they in the future will insult you in a glorious way by worshiping the Egel. So Hashem, who saw what was going to happen, he gave the Malach HaMavis a mission. What was the mission? Next words. Yetzei Reshef L'Raglav Malachei Reshef Bohu. That's already next. Lefonav Yelech Dever, Hashem sent the Malach HaMavis on a mission to bring to the world a Dever. There was a plague affecting.
God sent the Malach HaMavis on a mission.
On a mission to get rid of him.
Not it? Blame God.
So that means, did you ever hear such a medrash? That at the time of Matan Torah, the world was suffering from Corona.
This is.
It wasn't COVID-19.
It says an unknown source.
It was COVID Sinai.
It's not in any known.
Known medrash. Known medrash.
It's a Zohar. Who knows?
Okay, so did you ever hear such a thing before? That during the time of Matan Torah, the world was busy with COVID Sinai. We're now going through COVID-19. They were dealing with COVID Sinai. The whole world was in lockdown. Was in quarantine, sheltered in place. They were busy with a dever. What was the dever? A distraction. everyone was so distracted with themselves, worrying if they're going to survive the next day, that they were not, why? For one purpose. In order to distract the Malach HaMoves, he should not have time to be busy with complaining as to why the Jewish people are receiving the Torah. Wait a minute. The Malach HaMoves can be busy. The Malach HaMoves is not subject to the rules of man. A man cannot walk and chew gum. The average man can't do, a woman can do a lot of things. A woman can do the laundry, can be running a business, can be can be making supper and sending her children off to school. Women know how to multitask. Most men cannot even walk and chew gum. The Malach HaMoves is not like a man. The Malach HaMoves is a woman.
You in trouble.
Boy, am I in trouble now, right? The Malach HaMoves is the ultimate multitasker. The Malach HaMoves can do a million things at the same time. What? Just because Hashem gave the Malach HaMoves a mission to go and take the life of people all over the world, a dever, a plague, was affecting the world at the same time as Matan Torah to distract the Malach HaMoves. What? Why is that called a distraction? The Malach HaMoves can be busy doing what he's doing as a dever, and at the same time, he'll be complaining to Hashem, I do not allow you to give the Torah to Klal Yisrael because they're going to worship the Eagle after 40 days. This Rashi is so shocking, it's unbelievable. Rashi over here has presented to us numerous chidushim that we've never heard before. At the time of Matan Torah, the world was busy with a dever. Could you imagine? The whole world was busy with a dever. The Malach HaMoves was killing people right and left. And that was a distraction for the Malach HaMoves not to be busy complaining against us what we are about to receive. We're about to receive the Torah. Stay away. You want to go make parallels today? I wouldn't go there. Okay, I wouldn't.
By the way, the Mara in Masechet Shabbat, Daf Pei Hey, I think, or something, talks about the Malachim and Moshe Rabbeinu, the discussion between them. What is he doing here?
Correct.
And everybody agreed at the end, after Moshe Rabbeinu had the discussion with them, everybody agreed.
We are deserving.
And the Malach HaMoves gave him a present.
The guitarist.
Correct.
Gave the guitarist.
Even Malach HaMoves gave him a present. He agreed that the Torah should be accepted by the Jews. So here it is. The Malach HaMoves was mentioned in the Gemara. Maseret Shabbat, Daf Pei Hey, I think.
Correct. So how do we reconcile that with this? I don't know. I really do not know how to reconcile that with this. Over here, the Malach HaMoves was absent. He was not present when the vote was taken in the Congress in Shemayim if they should give the Torah to Klal Yisrael. Why was he absent? The president sent him on a mission, the Ribbono Shel Olam sent him on a mission to go bring a dever to this world. That's what Rashi says. That's what it says here in the Rashi. Whoever heard such a thing? You ever hear such a thing like this? And they said the Malach HaMoves, he knows the future? Whoever heard of this? And they said the Malach HaMoves is so concerned about Hashem's honor and that's why he complained that this should not happen? Well, that's all what it says over here in this pasuk. Then it says, "V'yetsa Reshef l'raglav, Malach Reshef bohu imoy l'sinai, Malach Reshef." Now, what does this mean? "V'yetsa Reshef l'raglav, Malach Reshef of fire." This is not a malachim of destruction. Rashi is not agreeing to the Mitzudah Stavit. The Mitzudah Stavit learned when it said over here Malach Reshef, this refers to again the desert. This refers to the time when the Jewish people were traveling in the Masois in the desert, and Hashem sent Malachi Reshef, angels of fire, to destroy our enemies. That's not what it says according to Rashi. It means these are not angels of destruction. When Hashem came to give the Torah to Klal Yisrael, the mountain was engulfed in flames. It was fire. This was not a fire. This was not a fire of punishment. It was not harming anyone. It was just when Hashem came down to this world, it was theater. Hashem was, it was shock and awe. It was theater. There was smoke and mirrors. It was a presentation. It was drama. And the Malachi Reshef are the Malachim which came with the Kadosh Baruch Hu to present the Torah. Okay, now we're going to look at the Radak. The Radak. We'll go back to the Radak and look at his Mahalach in the Pasuk. I'm going to take here a picture, and I'm going to put the picture on the screen. Here we go. Okay, going back to Radak Pasuk Beis. Okay. We got a problem. It came up back. I think it came backwards. Okay, got to try this again. Picture didn't come out the right way.
Actually, it hasn't come out at all.
I didn't put it. I know on my phone it didn't come out the right way. I didn't even put it up because it came out. It came out upside down. Okay, I'll try it again. Here we go. What is going on? The images, camera. Okay, here now I got it. Okay, you see it? Okay. All right, we'll do like this. Okay, here we go.
Are we on the right page?
Hashem Shamati, right? Hashem, Pasuk, go back to Pasuk Beis. You see, everyone can see this? Does everyone see this? Or those on the telephone can't see it, obviously. Yeah. Michal, you can see it? Rabbi Michal, can you see it?
Yes.
Okay. Mark, you see it?
Yes, I see it, but I have it also in my...
Good, you have the text. Excellent. Okay, Pasuk Beis. Hashem, Shamati, Shemacha, Yoresi. Shamati, Koil, Hanavua, Oimer. I made a mistake. What am I doing? Pasuk Gimel, not Pasuk Beis. What am I doing over here? Sorry, I gotta do this again. I put up the wrong thing. All right. Elokai mitei manba. Okay, here we go. We're going to have to put another picture in a second. A few lines first. Elokai mitei manba. Atosiper hagedulois vahanoirois sheheroa hokel li shoba midbar. Now he's describing the miracles. Vishiyasa lachem bain bitseis mehagolus tachila. Kishinosan lachem atayra. The Radak is learning like Rashi. We're coming to describe the miracles that Hashem did Klai Shol in the past. V'hu v'zeu elokai mitemon yovai. K'moy shama v'toira. V'zorach miseir lomoy. Hashem, he shined his radiance upon lomoy, upon them. Miseir, read the words out of order. V'zorach, Hashem shined. Lomoy. Lomoy means upon them or towards them. Who are them? Who are they? The Jewish people. Mi Seir. When they passed through Seir. Ki Teimon hu Seir. Radak is learned like the Mitzudas. That Teimon and Seir are Edom. V'chei mehar paron. K'moi. Teimon is Seir. V'chei mehar paron. K'moi shenem b'toira. Hoifia Hashem appeared. To Klal Yisrael mehar paron. Kiso shamayim hoidoi. V'zehu halapidim. Shera'u b'yoy matan Torah. Shahayu masidim ha-shamayim b'aretz. This refers to the torches. The torches of light which appeared at the time of matan Torah. Okay, now we go to the next page. Okay, Rahoidoi and his splendor, Perish Hoidoi Vahadoroi, his splendor, Rutilasa Zoharoi. The Radak learns like the Mitsudais. The word Tehillah means shine. Tehillah does not only mean praise, Tehillah means his radiance. Min bi bihiloi neiroi alei roishi. We had this in a few times. The proof that the word Tehillah means radiance comes from a pasuk in Iyai where it says bihiloi. Bihiloi means the radiance neiroi of Hashem's light candle alei roishi. The Radak understands that the shoresh of the word is hey lamed, just like the word utehila soy. In the center of the word tehila is the hey and the lamed. The Radak understands that the tav of the word tehila is not part of the root. The word the tav is, you know, it's part. It's a grammatical prefix. Okay, the word we always use the letter tav is usually a prefix for the future tense of a woman, and yud is for a masculine. So it's shocking. We are much more familiar, or we assume that the word tehila's praise, tehila li David. What does that mean? We say this every single day. Tehila le David. Ashrei Yeshev Esech Od Yahalaluch HaSela. Ashrei Yamshech LaHashem. And then we begin Ashrei. Tehila le David. What does it mean, Tehila? Open up any siddur with a translation and it will tell you a psalm, a praise, an expression of praise. Is that correct? If we only came today to the shir to learn this, it would be kedai. That when you say Ashrei three times a day, and you say the word Tehila LeDavid, it doesn't necessarily mean psalm. It doesn't necessarily mean an expression of praise. It can also mean an insight. An insight. What is an insight? A light bulb turns on in your mind. Okay, when a person has an idea, what is the convention in this world? If you go online and you type and you're a graphic artist and you want to present in pictures that a person has an idea, right? If you go to Google Images and you type in idea, what are they going to show you in Google Images when you type in idea and click on images? They're going to show you light bulbs going off in your mind. So what does it say over here in the Mitsudais? What is in the Mitsudais? What is over here in the Radak? Tehila means a light bulb. A light bulb goes on in your mind. Or Eoif is dying. And as he's dying, he has clarity. This is something which is very, very common. A person, Rahman al-San, they're dying. All of the filters go away. It's a reality that their time here in this world is very little. And all the nonsense just melts away, and they have crystal clear tunnel vision clarity of what life is all about. Iyav, when he was dying, he said that Dihiloi Neiroi Ale Roishi. The radiance of Hashem's light is upon my head. That's the source, that the word Tehillah means light. The Iker is the Hey and the Lamed. That's the light, and the tav is a prefix. And in this context, it means that Hashem's light radiated upon Klal Yisrael, the time of Matan Torah. And by extension, we now have a new limud, that when we say Ashrei, Tehila LeDavid, it means a moment of clarity, a moment of light, of insight, for David HaMelech. And then he goes on to say, Aromimcha Elokai HaMelech Vavaruch HaShimcha Li'olam Vo'ed. And he goes on. It's his last will and testament. How often do we hear when a person, when they're Rachman al-Son at the end of their life, what do? They sit down and they write to their children and their grandchildren what life is all about. And they give them advice. That's exactly what David HaMelech is doing in, what we say, Ashrei. Tehillah le-David. I have insight into life. The matzav that I find myself in when I write these words is revealing. It's an insight. A light bulb has turned on in the mind of David, and this is what he presents to you. We learn that from this Radak and this Mitzudois David. Further, it says here, Zohar Seir, we mentioned Seir Parod, Kihem Smuchim Lahar Sinai. Now this is a chiddush. This is a real heavy-duty chiddush to say such a thing. Okay, really? Really? Seir and Parun is near Har Sinai. First of all, where is Har Sinai? Does anyone know where Har Sinai is? Today, no one really knows where Har Sinai is. Okay, we always talk about this. We play around with this. People wrote books. People have done investigations, and there's a lot of. One thing is for sure: if you're going to tell me that Sinai is the Sinai Desert, okay, where they have today a tourist attraction, then this Radak doesn't make one bit of sense. Because I do not believe that according to any commentator, Seir and Paran is anywhere near the modern day Sinai Peninsula, where people go there to do whatever they want to do. I don't know if you can go there anymore today, but people, whatever, it used to be a big tourist attraction, and people would come back with rocks, and the rocks they claim look like a mountain, and when you bush. And when you break it, if you break these little stones, whatever, everyone has a whole story about these stones. But if that is Sinai, there is no way to reconcile that with this Radak. Because the modern day understanding of where Seir and Paran is on the other side is, you know, you're in the wrong place. Totally in the wrong place to say that this is where Seir and Paran is located. Seir and Paran is east, a lot east.
Both.
Yeah.
South. Both south.
Southeast.
I mean,
southeast.
We're going to get to that in
right.
a second. But...
So this cannot be. Obviously, the Radak had an understanding that the Har Sinai is somewhere else. It's somewhere else. And he says, "V'zochar seir v'parun ki heim simuchim lahar Sinai, v'derech hadrash yedua." And the drash is yedua. The drash refers, I guess, to what does it refer to? We have the Gemara soon.
To Hashem offering.
Offering, right? Exactly. That's what we have in the Gemara later on. He offered the Esav. Esav, do you want to mimkabel the Torah? And Esav asks, "Well, what does it say in the Torah?" And Hashem says, "It says in the Torah, loy." Now the real gear is loy sinaf. Do not commit adultery. And Esav says, sorry about that.
Or is it los, or is it lo?
Sirtzach.
Sirtzach.
No, so that's the correct gear. Look in the Gemara, if I'm not mistaken, it's just the opposite of what we would think. Esav, it says, al charbucha tichye. And Yishmael is shetufe zima. And yet the Gemara says just the opposite. When Hashem went to Esav, what does it say? It says, listen off. Esav said, no, thank you. When they went to Yishmael, what does it say? What they lost Sirtzach. No, thank you. So, what do we see today? And the problem is just the opposite. I don't remember all the details. We'll come to this soon, the bottom. Right. But the basically is, as far as we know, the nature of Yishmael is, the nesoyin of Yishmael is zima. They are shetufe zima. The nesoyin of Esav is leisirtzach. Yet today, in the modern world, in the secular year 2020, it's just the opposite. Yishmael is busy destroying the world. Yishmael is busy with Churban, with acquiring weapons of mass destruction. They're desperately trying to engage in murder. And what is the problem with Western civilization, Esav? Shitufei Zima. It's eating up Esav. Mishkav Zohar, Shitufei Zima. It's out of control. It's out of control. But what's going on? It's the opposite. We know that Esav, V'al Charbucho Techieh, Esav's problem is the sword. And they have a long history of murder. A murder. And Yishmael's problem is Shitufei Zima, polygamy, and all these disgusting things that go on amongst Yishmael. But yet today, in the modern world, we find that the main problem of these two nations, they are, this is what it says in the Pasuk, that Esav, he married, he made a shidduch with the daughter of Yishmochalas, the daughter of Yishmael. That la'os ma'isei avay simin labanim, that in the end of days, Esav and Yishmael are going to merge. They're going to take upon, each one is going to take the midah of the other. When President Trump, in the beginning of his presidency, do you remember those images? He went, his first foreign visit was to Saudi Arabia. And they played on the screen for the entire world to see Trump dancing with the princes of Saudi Arabia, the leaders of the Arab world, with swords. They have a sword dance. Okay, they dance with their swords in an elaborate way, and they invited Trump to participate, and Trump participated. He was holding the sword, and they were dancing. And the first thing that many people who are knowledgeable in Chazal, when they saw those images plastered all over the world, was, what is going on? Esav is dancing with a sword in front of the entire world. What is Hashem telling this world? Esav is not the one that is supposed to be dancing with a sword. I mean, Yishmael is not the one that is supposed to be dancing with the sword. Esav is the one that dances with the sword. To Esav, V'al Charbucho Techieh. With your sword you shall live. It was the merger. It was Vayelech Esav Ayikach Esmochalas Bas Yishmael. This, here you have Trump, who represents Western civilization, who represents Yishmael, and here he is embracing Esav, and he's embracing the Yishmael. Okay, so we have to get to this. This comes a little bit, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he presented this to the nation, when they rejected the Torah, and when they rejected the Torah, they were rejected. Fine. Okay, now we come to the Tai Yonasan. He learns Taimon.
I would like to say something about that, what the Radak says. Zachar Seiru Faran Kihem Smuchim Lehar Sinai. It's not geographically, it's in the Pasuk.
Ah.
Of Hashem Misinai Ba, Vizarach Miseir Lamo, Ophia Mehar Paran, Vatam Shama, the same Pasuk. If he mentions Sinai, Seir, and Paran.
That's what it means? I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying, but...
This is what I think the Radak means.
All right, possibly. Possibly.
And also, Midbar Paran is identified with Midbar Sinai.
Midbar Sinai.
There are several names for Sinai. Midbar Sinai, Midbar Paran, and there's one or two more.
Okay.
He was talking about Har Sinai here. He says, "Smuchim leHar Sinai." Hashem miSinai ba, it's not miMidbar, but from the Har Sinai. And he came from Hofia meHar Paran.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying.
Can I just say something about the word Taimon?
Yes.
Now, Taimon means south, as Targum Yonatan says, and we know that the lands of Edom and the territory of Edom and the territory of Yishmael were to the south. Now, the word Taimon is related to Yamin, which means south, right? Because facing east, Yamin is southward.
Okay. Right. Well, that's exactly what it says now. That's exactly what the Radak says the word now. He learns the word Teiman from the south. The south. Look further in the Radak. The Yoina Sam Tiergem mi Teiman mi Doraima from the south. V'daitek das unkolis b'perush apasik utilos point. And now he goes on the last part utilosik tirgumoi. Another simple translation kimashmaoi umeimar. Tush Bachte praise. We like to translate the word Tehila Lidovid as praise, not as a light. And that is what Unkelus says, and that is the simple translation. But again, the Radak and the Mitsudois, they translate the word to mean light. And again, Teiman is referring. What is it referring to? It's either Edoim. Or it refers to the south. Okay, next. V'noiga ka'artiyah, zehu ma'asha omar, what it says in the Torah, Marei kvod Hashem ke'esh ha'chelitz b'reshahar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared with light. Karnayim b'yod Eloi, zehu ki'kodah par m'pnei Moshe, he learns that the word keren means light. At Har Sinai, there was an abundance of light. Rashi cited the Medrash that says, that we never heard this before either, is that at Har Sinai, the light of Har Sinai was the light of Maase Bereishis, that was Gonuz for the Tzadikim Le'osid Lovai. We have to remember that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu Maase Bereishis, the whole Maase Bereishis was contingent on Yom HaShishi. Kloimar, Haziv, Hahu Hoyim Yad HaKel Loi L'Moshe. New interpretation. When we say the word Loi, until now, Karnayim Miyadoi Loi. Until now, we translated the word loy referring either to the mountain or referring to Klal Yisrael, and he learns the word loy refers to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Omar Karnayim, Bilashon Shnayim, Ki Aponim Shneit Stodin. There are two sides to the face. That's very, very fascinating. Everything about this, that a person is called, why is a person's, his ponim, Kikoran or Pinay. Sometimes a person is the Pinay. The Pinay is usually the smichus form of the word. The Pinay shell. But the noun, the proper noun of the face is the ponim. That's the proper noun. Why is the proper noun for a person's face ponim? It should be Pinay. The Yud Mem connotes plural, more than one. And he says here something fascinating. Ki aponim shnei tzadim. There are two profiles. Mugshat. Okay, there's the left profile and the right profile. A person's face is called ponim because we give chashivus to both sides of his face. That's an amazing thing. Ki aponim shnei tzadim v'yesh mefarshim karnayim al haluchos shenasan l'moshe shayu shnayim. Karnayim refers to luchos, that's why it's plural. V'hoyu mizmasirois banire uvanistin. Did you ever hear that before? Did you ever hear before that the luchos radiated? They were radioactive. A glow. They glowed in the dark. I never heard this before. The luchos were stone. V'haluchos ma'aseh l'kim hema. Or Moshe Rabbeinu, he chiseled out sapphire stones. Where did it ever say the luchos were? Where does it ever say the luchos glowed in the dark? Right here in the Radak. And based upon this pasuk, the noega kartiya, the glow was like light. Karnayim miyad eloi, loi onto it. What is the subject of the word it? So many perushim. According to the Radak, Moshe, Karnayim, Kikoran, or Pinei Moshe. In this pasuk, it says Karnayim Bilashon Rabim, because the ponim has two sides, and each side had its own ray of light. Or Loi refers to the Luchos, and when it says that the Luchos radiated with light, the reason why it's written Bilashon Rabim is because there were two tablets. Okay, next. V'sham chevin uzoi, sham there, where's there? B'sinai, Nigla ma shahaya nechba me'uzosh ad hayom ahu, what was concealed in the heavenly abode until this day, ki lo haya kayom ahu lefanav ulachrav shenigla loy hakel yisbach b'chvoidu hagadol al har Sinai le'inei kol Yisrael. This is very refreshing to read as we come to the Yom Tov of Shavuos. We should not forget the Yom Tov of Shavuos is very special. It's much more unique than Pesach and Sukkos. It is the day when Hashem descended upon this world and revealed Himself for every single member of Klal Yisrael. And the Radak says, there was never in the history of the world a day equivalent to that day, and there never will be ever again. It implies, even with the Beis HaMikdash and Mashiach, it's not the same. The moment when Hashem descended upon this earth and revealed Himself was a one-time event in the history of the world that will never be repeated. That's an awesome statement to make. We think in America that we can have it all. It's just a matter of saving up enough money or working hard enough. And when Mashiach will come, we'll have whatever we want. That's not so. He says here some powerful words. This day will never ki lo hoyo kayoim ahu lefanov ever before ula acharov. It will never be repeated again. Shenigla loy hakel yisparach b'chvoidoy hagodol al har Sinai le'enei kol Yisrael. Not to one person, not like Christianity who claims that one man claims that God revealed Himself to him, not like Islam where one man claims that God revealed Himself to him. And these two individuals said to the world, trust me, believe me, trust me. Would you lend him $5? Would you lend Mohammed $5? Would you lend Yoshka $5? Think about it. Would you lend him $5? He'll ask, can you lend me $5? He's walking on the street. I want to go into the store. I want to go on the subway. Can you give me $2.50 to go on the subway? Can you give me? You wouldn't give him. But when he tells you that God revealed Himself to him and He's presenting to you a new religion of love and tolerance and redemption, well, that you believe, and you're able to convince billions of people that it's true. It's just mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling. And Yadus, that's not the way it works. Hashem revealed Himself to every single person on Har Sinai. V'yesh mefarshim chevyon uzo al ha'oroin. It refers to the Oron HaKodesh. This is what we learned this in Rashi. Rashi learns that this pasuk that was referring to the Amud Ha'esh and the luch and the Oron, k'mo sh'amar lav. Ata va'aroinu zecha v'sham hayu nistarois haluchois, and there in the Aroin were the luchois han nistarois, which were concealed. Okay, I just want to finish up over here. Let me put on the screen one more picture. I want to finish up very quickly. One more picture to finish up the Radak. So tomorrow we can go further in the Malbim. Here we go. All right, let's finish up Pasuk Hey. Lifanav yelech dever perush adoni avi zal b'meisei midbar. So here he's learning the Radak is very important. The dever is not referring to the goyim. The dever refers to the meisei midbar. Rachman l'tzan klal yishol, because they worship they because of the chet of the meraglim. Because of the meraglim, they were punished. They would die in the desert. That's the dever. The Achocham Rabbi Avram ibn Ezra Perushoy al Ha'amim. Ha'amim refers to the Goyim, like what it said in Rashi. Kish Nichnasu, not like Rashi, which refers to when they went into Eretz, not the time of Matan Torah. We're referring over here to the time when they went to Eretz Yisrael. Kish Nichnasu Yisrael Oretz, Kumar Sha'amar, Es Emosi, Ashalach Lefanecha, Vahamosi, Es Kol Ha'am. I'm going to wipe out all of your enemies. Reshef, Kumar Dever. Reshef refers to the Malach of destruction, according to the Radak. V'inyin kavul b'mil shonas v'porig repetition v'chein uluchum reshef. We have in Devarim, we have in Hazinu, the war of Reshef, of the destructive angel. V'ucholi hakadachas, fever. Shichama hasodefes, hasodefes, hamemisa mehera, which brings swift death. Okay, an intense fever. Liraglov, Lisibasai, Kemoy Vayverch, Oyschal Liragli. So here he says Liraglov, no one said this. This is a very important translation. Lifanov Yelech Dever, Hashem will send punishment to the, let's learn over here, still to the nations of the Umayso Olam that bring trouble upon Klal Yishol. The Yetzei Reshef, angels of fire go before Liraglov. Liraglov means, according to the Radak, on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Just like Lavan said to Yaakov, Hashem has blessed me. Vayivarech Hashem oischonu. I'm sorry, Yaakov said to Lavan, Yaakov, Hashem has blessed you, liragli, because of me. Here as well, liraglov means because of Klal Yisrael. That is why Hashem brought punishment and destruction upon our enemies, upon these wicked people. Because of Klal Yisrael, that's why they suffered. That is the Radak's novel translation. According to the simple translation, Liraglov means at the feet of Hashem. Because this world, we have to remember, this world is called Hashem's Hadoim Raglov. This world is Hashem's footstool. So even when we say that Hashem came down on Har Sinai, it does not mean that Hashem's ponim came to Har Sinai. It means Hashem rested his feet on Har Sinai. Hashemayim, Shemayim, Hashem Haaretz, this world is called the Hadoim Raglov Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when there is a revelation, the revelation is Hashem's Raglov. Why are tefillin similar to shoes? There's a very popular similarity comparing tefillin to shoes. We put the tefillin on our head. It's leather and it has straps. Shoes are also leather and have straps. The answer is, the highest man can reach in this world when he raises up his head is to the feet of Hashem. Hashem, when he comes down upon this world, Hashem puts his feet on the footstool. Hashem's feet have shoes. Chazal said that Hashem wears tefillin. What are Hashem's tefillin? Pasuk says, Umika Amcha Yisrael. Question, where does Hashem wear tefillin? Does Hashem wear tefillin on his head, or does Hashem wear tefillin on his feet? So I want to suggest to you that Hashem wears tefillin on his feet. Hashem's the most Hashem will reveal himself in this world is by resting his feet upon his footstool. His footstool is where our head meets. We can raise our heads high. That's the goal. The goal is for man to stand vertical, to stand erect. I met someone today I have not seen in 11 weeks, and he says to me, "You're still vertical." I was very insulted. What kind of nusach is that? He says, oh, yeah, I see you're still vertical. What does that mean? But the truth is, there is some truth to that. The goal of man is to raise himself up tall, to raise his head. Man's head, at most, can meet with Hashem's feet. And the common denominator is our tefillin on our head are really Hashem's shoes. It's not that Hashem, he wears his shoes and we wear our tefillin. When we put tefillin upon our head, we're tying Hashem's shoelaces. We're putting on Hashem's shoes. It is our connection. Our head meets up with Hashem. When Hashem, Chazal says Hashem wears tefillin, that's right. Hashem's tefillin are Hashem's shoes. Okay, that's they go together. Proof to this is the Mishkan was covered with saskoina. We learned this yesterday in the Chumashir. Saskoina, tachash, or tachash in the Targum is called saskoina. It's sas on givonim harbe. Sus is spelled in Targum two samachs, but the samach can be interchanged with a sin, two sins. What do we have in our tefillin? Two shins spell sus. And our tefillin are black. Why black? Black includes all colors. Black absorbs all the rays of light. So our tefillin in essence are really sus goina, not with a samach, but with a sin. Sas goina, sas al gevanim harbe. What did Klal Yisrael use the or tachash for? After the leftovers that they used to cover the Mishkan, they made shoes. So you see that sas goina is used mitzad echad to cover the very, very top of the Mishkan, and that's really what tefillin are. Tefillin are saskoina, but the leftover hides, the pasuk in Yecheskel, va'analcha tachash, your shoes were made from tachash. This same principle is used for shoes. What's the connection? The connection is our tefillin are Hashem's shoes. This is where they meet. That's why they both have straps. And they both michut viat sroich naal, in reward for saying sroich naal, the shoelace, we were zoichet to the ritzua shel tefillin, because our tefillin are Hashem's shoes. And when it says here vayetze reshef liraglav, the simple interpretation is that the fire is at the feet of Hashem. That's the pshuto shel mikra. The Radak is presenting a chiddush. That the word Raglav means on behalf of the Jewish people. A fire of punishment went forth before Hashem to eliminate and decimate our enemies on behalf of the Jewish people. And this in essence is the complaint of Habakkuk. Ribbono shel Olam, in the past you've been so good to us. You have come to our defense. You have protected us. You have eliminated our enemies. And now you have disappeared. You have entered into a cloud of hester panim, v'enochi haster haster panai, and that is why we're complaining. Chavakuk is complaining and being mevakesh for Hashem to restore his old policy of having rachmanis upon us. Okay, Rabbi, we are going to take a short break, and when we continue, we're going to continue our the seder hayoyim of Shavuos, and we're going to try to spend some time discussing the mitzvah of bikurim. Even though it doesn't apply b'zman hazeh, but some of the lessons of Bikurim and how it relates to the Yom Tov of Shavuos. I'll see you back in 2 minutes. I'm going to reboot my computer, try to get my camera to work. I'll see you back soon. Mm-hmm.